Welcome to the Remix My Fitness podcast, where we learn that there's more than one way to train, eat, and live. I'm your host, MC Kim, and that's right, Kim stands for the kind, intelligent man. And I'm here to host today's show, and what a show we got today, because I have a special guest on the show today. I've been excited to bring him on, and I saw him on YouTube, and I thought, I gotta have this guy come onto my show and drop some knowledge bombs for us, and drop some knowledge bombs he did. He goes by the name of Dr. John, a lifelong martial artist, PhD, pianist, composer, philosopher, stuntman, actor, and really, honestly, the list just goes on and on and on and on. This guy really has done everything and anything, and he's not even like 35 years old. The dude is super, super young. I'm so happy to have him on the show today because, as you could tell, like the title of today's show in itself, and this is quoting Dr. John, you know, life is a collection of experiences, and it's what you do with it that makes it worth living. And that is just a little tidbit. That is just a small sliver of what you're going to hear about on today's episode, because we just get into it all of it. If you, the listeners, enjoyed listening to today's episode, hit me up, because I would love to get Dr. John back onto the show. I had a whole plethora of other questions. You know, he's rubbing off on me. I even had to say words like plethora. A whole plethora of questions to ask him. We even talked before and off air, and I just wish I had more time with him. That's all. That's all I wish I had, because we go into self-defense and what are some of the best tactics to handle confrontation. We get into how and why he gets up at 5 a.m. in the morning, and because that's, honestly, that's some next level getting up. And we also get into how to mentally get yourself psyched up for competition, for big pressure moments. And Dr. John is here to enlighten us on all that and much, much more. And, you know, he's not someone that just speaks about it, but he really just does it all. And if you don't believe me, go check him up on YouTube. Go check him up on his Insta, on his website. You won't believe, this dude is jacked city. He's ripped. He's huge. But he's cat-like in his moves. He's got reflexes beyond, like I've never seen before. For someone that large, someone who holds that much muscle and yet can move that gracefully, that can do flips, that could jump around and just do all those kinds of crazy ninja things, it's unbelievable. It really is. So you gotta go and check that out. I have that on my page. I have a few different links of a few different things that he does, and just a few different things. I couldn't even put everything on there if I could. So go check that out. So that's bit.ly/Dr. John. There's no H in Dr. John. Okay? So bit.ly/Dr. John. Go check it out. Got some videos on there. Tell me. I dare you to tell me that you're not impressed by all that. So that's enough talking from me. Subscribe to the podcast. Hit me up. DM me. Shoot me an email at remixmyfitness. Jimmy@remixmyfitness.com. On social at remixmyfitness. No excuse not to get in touch with me. Tell me that you loved it. Tell me that you hated it. And that's enough said. Let's go and hear from Dr. John. Welcome to another episode of the Remix My Fitness podcast. I'm really pumped for today's episode because I have a special guest on today. Not only is he a guest, but I'm actually a personal fan of his work. He's a stuntman for movies, TV shows. He's an actor, a singer, a pianist. He's a fight choreographer. Of course, he's also a martial artist. And this man also has the time to also get his PhD too. I'm so happy. I'm excited. I want to welcome Dr. John onto the show. Welcome, Dr. John.
Ah, Jimmy, thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor. And I'm really looking forward to today.
I appreciate it. You know, and Dr. John, you're hailing all the way from England, right?
That's correct. From Oxford in the UK.
Oxford in the UK. I love that accent too.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself? I listed some of the things that you do, but you do actually do a lot of the stuff. Like, why don't you start by, what do you have your PhD in?
So I actually specialized in counseling. which is actually really useful for the job that I'm working in now, which is, so I work for a university in academic and pastoral support. So there's a lot of students who have mental health conditions and they just need some kind of counseling or coaching or some kind of support. So my doctorate actually lends itself very well towards that. I'm actually doing a second doctorate at the moment in psychology, which is I'm specializing in conflict management, which is I think as a martial artist, that's something I'm interested in, not the actual physical altercation, but the part before it, the the bit where someone's yelling at you, and it's how to resolve that conflict before it escalates into something physical. So that's what I'm researching into at the moment.
Oh, that's fascinating. I want to delve into that as well. But there's something that's been burning on my mind for a little bit. And if you ever scroll through your own comments or anything like that, I'm pretty sure you ran into this as well, which is, how do you have the time to do all this stuff? Like, it's just crazy. Not just do it, but you also do it very well as well.
Well, I think it's very careful time management, though I have the attitude that I have all the time in the world to do everything that I want to do and everything I need to do. Now, I sleep maybe 6 to 7 hours, which is okay. But my day starts at 5:30 every morning. So I do 2 hours of training in the morning, and then I do 7 or 8 hours at work, and then I have the evening to do everything else that I need to do. So there's never a dull moment. And so you'll never just find me just sat down doing nothing, unless I'm meditating, but but that's something different. Though I'd always say that with regards to my time, I spend my time as wisely as I would like to spend my money, and that's as just as carefully as I can.
And do you look? Recently I did this. A challenge with my Facebook group. It was called Wake Your Ass Up and Work Out with Me, which I woke up at 6 a.m. and I would work out with people live on Facebook. And the reason why I did that was, part of it was I noticed that a lot of people wanted to get up early in the morning, but they struggled to. And also selfishly, also I couldn't get up early in the morning, even though I've always dreamed of getting up early so I could start my day. Because I know for me, if I can get up early, my day just seems longer. I'm more productive. You say you getting up at 5:30 in the morning. Do you give me some tips, please?
So it starts with your alarm clock. It becomes your enemy. And if I'm honest, I'm an evening person by nature. I love staying up late, waking up even later, and I'll do that on the weekend. But Monday to Friday, it needs to be done, because if I don't do my training in the morning, I'll have to do it in the evening. And what motivates me is, when you've had a long day at work, the last thing you want to do is train in the evening. You know what I mean? I mean, if you go to the gym, for instance, you've spent all your energy at, your desk job. And then by the time you get to the gym, it's packed full of people. You're waiting around for equipment, you're just waiting around for the equipment, and you're thinking, actually, this would have been completely better if I just woken up in the morning and just gotten myself to the gym. So that's something, that's a factor that always comes, that plays in my mind. If I don't do it now, I'll have to do it later. And when I wake up early, it just means that sometimes everyone else is still asleep, which means that I can start my day. I can start working towards my goals an hour, maybe 2 hours before everyone else is.
Right. That's great. I mean, 5:30 in the morning, again, like something like I would dream of doing. So do you wrestle with that snooze button at all, or is it 5:30, you hear the alarm and then you're up?
So I'll give myself 10 minutes if I need to. So I'm awake, then I'll think, okay, I can snooze for another 10 minutes, but no more than that. Any more than that, sometimes I think, maybe I've just wasted the whole day. So I thought, okay, 10 minutes, that's fine. I'll just get changed, go downstairs, and get myself ready. But sometimes you have to listen to your body. You can't do it every day, which is why I give myself the weekends off. I let myself sleep in over the weekends. That's really important. So it's listening to your body as well. I mean, ultimately, you want to be healthy, you want to be fit, and you want to be mentally prepared for the day. And you can't do that if you don't sleep well. So It's a lot of forward planning. So if I can get to bed for 9:30 and maybe get to sleep for 10, maybe, or even sooner, I'm happy with that. So long as I manage to fit those hours into sleep, I'm happy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, you know, I you know, when we quickly talked off air, I said I kind of discovered you on YouTube. When I was browsing through YouTube, I was going through down through that rabbit hole, and I saw you on a channel called Master Wong's channel, which is a martial arts channel. And what got me to click on it was, I think the video was captioned, what is a perfect punch, or how to do a perfect punch. And more than anything, it was actually your build. You're quite a big guy, and when I clicked on the picture, you move like so. You're so fluid. It's clearly you've been doing physical activity your whole life, martial arts. You know, probably also your whole life as well. Like, why don't you give me like a brief history of your training?
Sure. I mean, firstly, thank you. I've received lots of nice comments about my appearances on Master Wong's channel. So I've been training since the age of 5 under my father. He trained me in various styles of kung fu, and then I trained in a lot of different other styles of kung fu, karate, Aikido, Jiu-Jitsu, Hapkido, Arnis, Silat. And I train with different people, but ultimately, there are two people who I would call my instructors. And the first one would be my father. And the second one would be another guy called Jerome, who teaches the special forces. Well, he used to teach the special forces here in the UK. So I learned what I do from them. And that was every day that I would train for. And I never took a day off training. So obviously, you know, I'll get my sleep and everything. You know, if it means I do a little bit of training later, that's fine. I'll still do that. But I think with training within the martial arts, I don't feel that, you know, because you can do it anywhere. You're not restricted to gym times, for instance. With my martial arts training, I've always enjoyed the variety of it because there's so much out there. And I certainly don't consider myself a master. I consider myself a student, because the more I learn, the more I realize there is to learn, and it never stops. So when I discover, actually, this technique's pretty cool, then I realize, actually, there are so many more that I really should have learned, if that makes sense. And but in terms of my size, so I'm weighing about 230 pounds. And I've been heavier and I've been lighter. So at the weight that I'm at now, I can move fairly well. All it is, you know, you condition your body to move, relax, and it's just relaxing. And it's like knowing how to move when you're relaxed. Because when you're tense, especially with big guys, what I find with bigger martial arts practitioners or bigger fighters is that they're so tense. And when they throw these punches, you can see it coming a mile off, you know, because there's so much tension in their shoulders. Whereas what I demonstrate in the Master Wong videos is just relaxed speed. So, and we are all capable of it. For instance, if you and I are walking across the road and you happen to see a car that's driving really quickly and I don't see the car, you pull me back really quickly, and you'll do that as a reflex action. And that speed is exactly the speed that I'm talking about. We all have speed. We are all capable of it. So it's just making that speed conscious and just being able to do it whenever we feel like it. So, but with regards to my actual martial arts background, I mean, I'm 30 now. So I've trained for 25 years now, and So I've taught the army, police, security. I've trained actors as well, which is a lot of fun. And more recently, I was the sports psychologist for the Saudi Arabian national taekwondo team, which was epic.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what kinds of things would you work on these athletes with?
So because they had physical coaches who would go, you know, do drills with them and do all kinds of, you know, physical pad work and sparring, they called me in to help train their minds. So lifestyle, and just being with them, you know, just seeing what they're like when they're not at training and seeing what they're like when they are at training. Because when you're at home, you're at your most relaxed, hopefully. So It's like looking at their lifestyle, seeing what they eat, how much they sleep, what are their pressures, do they have pressures from their family? Do they have a family? Do they have like families to take care of, for instance? And because their English wasn't their first language, obviously, it was having to deliver coaching in the most simplest form. And yeah, I mean, they've gone on to win lots of championships, and I'd say, I'd like to think I contributed towards that. I won't take response. I won't take credit for their victories, but I certainly did like to think I, gave a good impact in that regard. But a lot of it was just spending time with them and just understanding them as people. And once you understand someone and you watch how they train, then you can understand how they fight. And I think when you watch someone how they fight, that's the result of their training. And if we examine their training, examine their lifestyle, then you can make small adjustments, and you can implement those changes. And when you see them fight, when you see them train, you can see that change almost instantly.
No, that's fascinating. Because I'm so interested in about the mindset of training and of fighters. I recently competed myself in my first tournament in a couple of years in a Brazilian jiu-jitsu tournament.
Oh.
I did that this past actually last week, last Saturday I did it, and the first match went okay. I lost, but it like plagued my mind a little bit. And then in the second match, I honestly just mentally just lost it, and it wasn't even so much physical. I just was feeling the doubt. I was like, oh man, I lost my first match. I was thinking about my first match in the middle of my current match, and I was so upset with myself after that all that happened, because I did so poorly.
I completely understand. And, it's such a cliche when people say, oh, losing is a part of winning, losing is a part of life. And to be fair, that is true. It is very much a cliche. However, when you lose that first match and then you're being reflective during that second match, it's, your mind's not there. Your mind is still processing what's just happened. And a lot of the time, we are either living in the past or living in a future that hasn't even happened yet, as opposed to being in the present. Now, that's also a cliche when people say you have to be in the present. But the best way to ever be in the present is just to concentrate on your breathing, because breathing is a sensory perception. When you're breathing, you are very much in the present. When you engage in any kind of thoughts, you are no longer in the present. So all knowledge is in the past, So anything we think can either be something that's past already or it's something that's about to happen. Now, worrying is a misuse of imagination. Worrying is a misuse of imagination. It's like paying a debt you don't yet owe. And it's I find with mindset for practitioners or fighters when they compete, we've seen Mike Tyson lose because his mind just wasn't there. It's like when he came out of prison, and people who were beating him are people who shouldn't really ever be able to say that they beat Mike Tyson. It's just any man can be beaten on any day. It's like if you take myself for instance, if you and I are going to fight, and
I would
I
lose.
Well, if I haven't slept, I haven't eaten, and I've got some stuff on my mind, maybe someone I know is in hospital, for instance. That stuff plays on my mind. That's what I'm thinking about. So when you and I are dueling, in battle, that's where my mind is understandably going to be. But it's being able to tell yourself, you know what, I'm not going to give in to this kind of anxiety. I need to concentrate on my breathing and be here. That's so important, and the time to reflect over your fights is when you're not fighting anymore, long after. Of course, it's always easier said than done, and the thing is, your opponent can always read that. So if you can control your body language, if you can control your body language, you can control what your opponent thinks. So if you're squaring off with someone at a bar or even when you're facing off in, you know, right before your match, when the referee is giving you the rules and everything, what happens is your opponent is reading you, you know, and they'll know if something's off. They'll know if you're not breathing right because they can feel it, because they're probably feeling that anxiety too. But if they're feeling better than you on the day, guarantee they'll be able to spot it. I mean, they say that animals can sense fear in others, and to a certain degree, we can do the same. Mm-hmm. And it's very much when you concentrate on your breathing, you become more objective at the task at hand, as opposed to the potential dangers. So it and it's very much not that fear is a choice, but it's how you respond to potential danger is a choice. And I'm speaking about responding as opposed to just reacting, you know, because we want to be objective in what we do and move as fluidly and as well as we can. So it's like, talk me through your first match.
I'm gonna get psyched out right now. That's cool. So I think what happened was I didn't realize that they had bumped me to a weight class above mine. So I felt, you know, I walked in and we kind of sized everybody up, and my wife goes to me and she's like, everyone seems a lot bigger than you. And I said no, honey. And we all weighed in, we're all the weight that we're supposed to be, which is at 100 kilos, you know. But the people, this guy he's just taller, but we're about the same. And then, I walked in. I was feeling pretty good. I know I trained as much as I could. And as soon as I grabbed him, I felt strong. I was trying to take him down. But you know what I think killed me was just I got fatigued. You know, I was looking back at the video, and you know I could see when I got tired. And that's when he took me down, and you know, we still battled. It was a good battle. He ended up getting me, and that was it. The second match, I found out that I was not in that. They had bumped me to a weight class above, which was, I was fighting at 100 kilos, and these guys were now, the guys I was in the match was 130 kilos and unlimited. So I found out later that the first guy I fought was over 270 pounds.
Ooh.
And the second guy was over 260, just over, I think it was 265 or so. So I wonder whether that played into it when I found out that these guys were bigger than me. But
I think it definitely does. You know, I mean, people say size and strength doesn't matter, but it does help. You know, it's application of strength and application of weight does help. I mean, it's the difference between Mike Tyson in his prime fighting Floyd Mayweather. You know what I mean? It's that weight difference does matter. You know, I think if you gave a good account of yourself, you know, I mean, obviously being bumped up a weight category is not something you were expecting on the day. So that's going to play, these all factors that are going to play into your mind. I mean, ultimately, I think it's good that you did go through that, because if you ever did find yourself in a physical confrontation with someone who is bigger than you in a real life situation, you've got some preparation for it, at least. You know what I mean? And I think with competitions, it's of course it's a controlled environment and everything, and ultimately it is just down to points and who gets the tap out. But it's a game, you know. I think competitions are just games ultimately.
Right. And I think what got me the most was in that first match was I ended up getting tapped out with something very silly, like something that I've never, doesn't matter the size or anything, I've never been tapped out. And they got me in what's in like a straight arm bar from like side control, which is, you know, that's never happened before, you know, in all my years of training, like that nobody really gets that on me. And he got that. And I was thinking like, what a stupid mistake that was. And you know, I think more than anything, that plagued my mind big time.
Of course. I mean, it's I would always say that in any given situation, anything can happen. You know, it's like, I have friends who had a winning hand at poker, for instance. There's no way they could have lost and ended up losing. It's, in the words of Jean-Luc Picard. You know, I mean, I'm a big Star Trek fan.
Oh, so am
You
I.
know.
You know, I just saw LeVar Burton speak, do a reading, like last month. I was so psyched for that.
Oh my goodness. Oh,
Yeah.
LeVar Burton.
Yeah.
You know, he tweets J.J. Abrams a lot about the new Star Trek films.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but no, I mean, I'm paraphrasing Picard here, where he says, you can do everything right and still get it wrong. You know, it's and unfortunately, that is very much how things happen. It's like I could be training against, I could be training to fight someone, but the hardest fight that you will ever have to deal with is the one that you never see coming, you know. And that's so I always think it's easy to train months and months to fight one guy for a title. It's easier to do that than preparing for the guy who might come from behind and smash a bottle over your head or stab you from behind, you know. And in this day and age, I mean, I think that's something that we all as martial arts practitioners need to be aware of. And that's just to maintain having good awareness. You know what I mean? It's I always think that is the toughest fight because it's always at a time that you least expect. It's always at a time of their choosing, not of yours. When you're doing a competition, you know when the time is. You know how much you need to weigh on the day. You've practiced a set of techniques for these particular conditions. Real life situation, that all goes out the window, you know. So it's I think it's good to have a wide variety of experience, not just competition, but and I'd say avoiding any real life situations is the best, but it's I mean, have you ever been in a real life situation before?
In a real life situation, it's been a little while. Maybe the last time I think it was in high school.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like knowing what you know now, if you could go back then and deal with that high school bully or something, would you have handled it differently?
Knowing
Knowing
what
what
I
you
know now, absolutely. It sounds really silly, but knowing what I know now would be I would avoid the situation,
Perfect. Perfect.
because yeah, it was unpredictable. I think almost all the fights I've been in, my mom still makes a joke about it today, that all those guys would gouge my eyes, and I would always walk home with scratches on my eyes. I never would have guessed it because I grew up doing martial arts since I was 7 years old, and kind of speaking to what you were saying, it's when I do taekwondo, there is a rule set. When I do boxing, there's a rule set. When I do Muay Thai, there's a rule set. And one of the biggest things that people avoid when I do training in jiu-jitsu now is people avoid fighting and rolling with white belts with beginners because they're worried they're gonna spaz out or they're gonna get hurt. And I look at that as, well, we're martial artists, right? And part of that is if they do spaz out, we should be able to protect ourselves still, right? Like, and not get hurt by that. And but people avoid that. But so I totally hear what you're saying when you just never know. And kind of almost I almost like going with these beginners because they don't know the rules. They don't know what they're allowed to do or not allowed to do. And I get to use what I've learned over the years to protect myself and still play the game.
Absolutely. I think you've hit it on the nail there. And I think with, when you see boxers and everything, like you said, they have a set, they've got a code of conduct, and beginners just don't. And, when they're training, I've been sucker punched by so many beginners. And you know what? It's completely by accident. And you can't get mad at them. Maybe you're mad at yourself for not
Right.
blocking it in the first place
Exactly.
and everything, but it's like, oh, just taking the kick to the nuts. Like, okay. But I think it's good to do it because in real life it's always going to be unpredictable, and if you can, I'll always say that if you can show some kind of defense towards something that someone does to you, if they knew you were going to do that, they wouldn't have grabbed you in that way in the first place. So I think you, in a real life situation, you always have the element of surprise. It's because if they know you're going to defend yourself in a certain way, they're not going to attack you in that way. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, and it's the very same thing with, grappling and boxing and it's if I knew you were gonna, bob and weave around my three punch combination, I wouldn't have done that three punch combination. You always have that element of surprise, and unfortunately, it does work both ways. It's it just depends on who is lucky that day. I mean, I'm not one for saying that there's an element of luck in fighting, but there definitely is.
For sure there is. For sure there is. I was when I teach self-defense seminars as well, and when I go teach these, I show people how to punch, how to throw a standard jab, a straight, a hooks, things like that. And I always tell people, you can't expect the other person to throw this way. People are going to just throw crazy overhands, windmills, and duck their head down and just throw or just kick. And those are there sometimes there's just no self-defense techniques to really do that other than to run and avoid them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think running is always, or walking away is always the best option, and especially, you have to take into account variables such as where you are at the time. If I'm, where I'm working now, we had some people in the car park dealing drugs. Of course, I've got the call to go outside and deal with them. Now, of course, you've got these anxieties, you're worried about what might happen and everything. And I thought, okay, you know what? Every man wants respect. I'm just going to go outside and talk to them. I said, hey guys, are you guys staff or students? And they said, oh, we're neither. I said, okay, well, I'm really sorry, but it is a private car park. And basically, management get really scared when they see cars they don't recognize and everything. So they come out and tell me to come out and speak to you. And I'm really sorry, but I'm going to have to ask you to leave. Is that okay? And so my tone of voice was nice and low and everything. And, people in the building are watching from the windows, which is annoying because that's added pressure. The phones have come out, they're recording.
Exactly.
And I thought, okay, fine. So I'm very courteous. And they said, yeah, no problem. Yeah, no problem. And I thought, that's fine. Because, and someone said to me afterwards, why were you so friendly to them? Or why didn't you, assert yourself more? I said, well, because if I did, of course, I'd walk back into the building like a hero, feeling like a hero. But now they know where I work. It's like if I'm rude to them now they know where I work. They know that I'm going to be here most of the day, and they can wait for me to finish and, do other stuff. And that's not something I want to deal with. So you always have to consider the consequences as well. So having that objective mindset is so important in that, if I'm having to deal with a potentially difficult or challenging or dangerous person, you know what? Every man wants respect. You give them that respect, even if they don't deserve it, because it's a good reflection of you. And once you do that, because if you take the respect from someone, they want to reclaim that. If not there and then, in the future, at a time of their choosing. So you always have to be super careful. It's like, okay, because you can't make assumptions about people. Maybe this person's friends with someone in the mafia. This person is a triad. This person is a, you see what I mean? Or this person has to be. So there are things that you can't make assumptions about people. It's like, so I think, hey guys, sorry, it's a private car park. I'm going to have to ask you to leave. Really sorry. I mean, there's lots of space here. If it's up to me, but it's not. Sorry. And when you talk to people like that, I find that actually, people can be a lot more receptive, And so I think martial arts, in terms of a self-defense perspective, it's always good to have that attitude where I just want to make sure I win. I win by changing the definition of a victory. So you can win every single fight when you change your definition of a victory according to the situation at the time. Now, it's some people say, oh, if I'm going to win a fight, it's me knocking them out. I mean, there is that, but then what about the legal proceedings that come after that? You know what I mean? So it's and the consequences that's going to have on you, your family. So these are always things that you want to take into account when you are out and about. For me, I just want to make sure I can get home safely and have dinner on time.
For sure. So your advice, Dr. John, is to kill people with kindness. This is what I'm hearing.
I think so. I mean, it certainly reflects better on you. I mean, a few years ago, I had a situation where I was just buying some food. This was in the evening. Someone, one of my friends, he came in and he looked, you know, he was really pale. I said, "You okay?" He goes, "Yeah, some guy outside just threatened to stab me." You can hear him arguing with people outside. I thought, okay. And then this guy starts punching the windows. I thought, oh, okay. So I'm going to go outside. I go outside. He's now arguing with a bunch of people. As soon as I've stepped out, now I'm 5'9", but I'm stocky. Quite a bit. I walk out, and the people he's arguing with take a step back, and all the phones come out, start recording. And this guy, I can tell from him, you know, he's got mental health conditions, and he has absolutely. I can see the injection marks in his legs. His skin tone is off, and I can smell something. And he's threatened to stab me and everything. And it took maybe 10, 15 minutes, but I talked him down. It took forever. You know, I mean, it felt like forever. I talked him down, and eventually he was completely harmless. Police came, and yeah, everything was fine. And, you know, and the guy was in the newspaper a week later because he ended up stabbing someone to death a week later. And I thought, actually, that very easily could have been me. And I'll say that whilst I handled myself well, that could have been very different. So if you can handle yourself mentally, you will always have an impact over the outcome of the situation. So it doesn't matter what situation you're in. It's like, you know, your boss at work might give you lots of paperwork. You have to do that work regardless of how you feel about it. Might as well be positive about it, you know, and then you can complain about it once you finished it, you know. But not, yeah, and that actually makes more of a positive environment. So I always think, you know, your mind is very much like a garden. You know, it's like how much do I water? How much sunlight should I give it? And because you know, nobody talks to us as much as we do for ourselves, you know. So it's always important to be kind to ourselves and actually take the time to mentally cultivate ourselves so that we don't overthink. I mean, that's easier said than done. I think in this day, this generation with social media and everything, kids nowadays, you know, they all have crippling anxiety, you know, it's, and it's terrible to see, you know, especially with, you know, you know, young people who are growing up and they're just worried all the time, you know, it's, and you know, some of the things I hear is, oh, you know, I text her, she read the message, but I don't know what's happened, you know, why is she ignoring me? And I'm thinking, okay, look, you know, I think we're just overthinking things now, you know, and to be fair, you know, I think I'm guilty of that too. I think we all are to a certain degree. And, but it's having that empowerment in that we are able to have influence over how we think and what we think. And, it's like a ship only sinks when water gets in. So ideally you want to let as little in as possible, you know, so that your ship stays afloat, but you weather out the storm.
Fascinating. you're hitting us with too much knowledge here. I'm trying to soak it all in here. That's good stuff. I want to touch on something that you mentioned before, which is you talk a lot about breathing, and for me, it's something that I would say over the last 2 years I've really getting into. I use breathing two ways: one to calm myself down, but also I use breathing to also hype myself up too. I follow a style of breathing, which is, I don't know if you heard of Nolly breathing. Nolly breathing, like diaphragmatic breathing. I can always have a tough time pronouncing that. But, you know, breathing through my diaphragm, and then breath of fire, which is like a very fast-paced, you know, similar type breathing, but a much more faster-paced breathing. I actually use that on Saturday this past week to get myself like hyped up. Or sometimes when I'm feeling like a little down, I'll take a step outside and I'll just take those short, fast, rapid fire breaths to get me going. Are those some of the things that you practice as well?
Absolutely, absolutely. Because your breathing has to change according to the conditions at the time, you know. So, and I always think that you know, I talk about meditation a lot, and in meditation you have a lot of breathing, whereas meditation isn't something that you just sit down and just stay quiet. It's like when you are grappling with someone, if you're rolling with someone, if you're playing soccer, if you're playing or if you're doing artwork, for instance, or you're doing some kind of animation, or that is your meditation emotion, you know what I mean? And you'll breathe accordingly. You know, for some people, it's the gym. That's their zone. When they get into the zone where they can just, you know, be completely present and just invigorate themselves, you know, and they are they're moving without thinking. Their body is doing the thinking, not their minds, you know what I mean? And then your body actually regulates itself. You'll be able to breathe according to what the movement requires you to do. You know, I mean, that's when you get really deep into it. So that's when someone does something that they love doing, that is meditation in motion. It doesn't have to be sat still. So I think when, you know, if you're feeling worked up, for instance, absolutely. Well, like, you're not you when you're hungry. You're not you when you're feeling down. You're not you when you're feeling anxious. So, you know, when you're feeling those negative feelings and everything, those thoughts that are creeping in, changing how you breathe changes that your nervous system completely. And it changes how you then react, how you then choose to respond to the situation at the time. So I think varying your breathing is very important. It's if I'm doing nightclub security, for instance, and there's a big fight that breaks out, you know, you got 30 guys fighting each other and there's only two of you. And now you've got to go in and sort it out. You're going to take a hit. So it's, I remember I was with someone who in training, this guy was fantastic. Suddenly I'm looking at him now and his shoulders are tense and everything. And I said, "You okay?" He goes, "Yeah, I'm just psyching myself up." And I knew he was just saying that to me to, you know, so that I wouldn't worry. Yeah. But I could see it. I said, "Okay, man, just breathe with me. Just breathe with me, okay?" And we just started breathing. I said, "Now, because when we're out of breath, we need to breathe more, right?" He goes, "Yeah." I'm like, "Okay." So, and once we got our breathing adjusted and everything, okay. I mean, it took maybe 5-10 seconds before we actually jumped in and resolved as much of the situation as we could before the police came. You know, it's right. But it was just. Because his mind was, it was like traveling a mile a minute, you know, you could just see his brain was just firing out and he was just, it's like paralysis through analysis, right. You know what I mean? We're just thinking too much. And as soon as we started focusing on his breathing, it changed. You know, he felt more capable and to deal with the situation at hand.
So what would be like advice to somebody who... you know, with breathing, like, for example, sounds kind of silly, we breathe all the time, but one of the advices that I always get is to focus on my exhale, and something that I always, and it makes, for me, it makes sense, because naturally, we inhale naturally, but sometimes we forget to exhale, and that's how I get myself going. That's something that I teach people when we're training, or when we're doing martial arts, or it's something that I always hone in on, because I think it is true. I think we do kind of hold our breath, but we still are breathing in. Is there anything like that that you would tell people or tell yourself?
Absolutely. If you're doing a really heavy bench press, you're gonna have to breathe out to get that weight back up. You know, so it's exhaling is so important, because as soon as you exhale, you feel that tension get released from your body. You know, and it's like when you hold your breath and everything. It's like if someone. Of course, if someone uppercuts you, in the diaphragm as you're breathing in,
it's going to go bad.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, you'll probably feel a little bit better if you exhaled as they did it. Just a little bit better. Still going to hurt. But I definitely say, yeah, exhaling is, you know, and it sounds almost moronic and in that we even have to say that, but actually so many people do forget to breathe. You know, it's like when you see someone under the squat rack and they've got however much weight on the bar and they go down and then, you know, you see their heads about to explode They're not breathing, or, you know, it's, but it's all about balance. It's like in and out, up and down. It's like when I'm doing squats, for instance, I want to go down fairly steadily, so I'm engaging my hamstrings, so that when I come back up, I can use the other part, the other half of my muscles. You know what I mean? So that way, it's I'm more balanced, and balance is so important. But that balance is always subject to change according to the situation that you're in, you know. But I would always suggest that, you know, if someone's, you know, at their desk feeling nervous or something, or just anxious, you know what, leave the room. You know, some people go out for a smoke break, other people go out and, you know, do other things, you know. But you know what, you want to breathe the way you do when you're relaxed, you know. So it's actually being conscious of what it's like to be relaxed, you know. It's if I'm sat on my couch at home, how, you know, very few people actually examine how they breathe when they're relaxed, you know. So it's very much, if I am feeling, you know, these pressures, you know, how can I now return my breathing back to what it is when it's relaxed? You know, that's so important. And sometimes it is just taking yourself away from the situation, from the room. And have you ever had it when you go into a room and you forget what you came in for?
All the time.
Yeah. Right. That's not an age thing. That's not an age thing. It happens to all of us. As soon as we go through a set of doors, our brains just reset, you know, and it's, you know, and when that happens, you know, we can use that to our advantage. So actually, when we go through a set of doors, actually, it feels like some kind of escape, temporary escape.
Now that you mention it, does it absolutely does.
Yeah. And I think if it goes one way, you can use it to your advantage. So, you know what, like some people go out for smoke breaks for however long they get. You know, sometimes I will do some press-ups or push-ups under my desk, and I'll do as many as I can do. And, you know, that makes me out of breath. Then what happens then? I'm required to breathe, you know what I mean? And I can feel the blood rushing into my muscles and everything. And because I'm taking more deep breaths now, you know, like in and out, I can actually, I'm now focusing more on the sensation of my body as opposed to those issues that I had to deal with prior to doing those push-ups, you know? So when I then come back to my desk, I'm then in a better position to deal with the situation. I mean, for instance, you know, when an objectivity is key, but it's like I might walk away from an argument thinking, ah, you know, that guy was such and such, da-da-da-da-da, you know, and just, then after a while, once I've calmed down, I'm like, actually, I really wish I didn't say any of those things. And if I was calm and you know, if I was cool, calm, and composed, I would have said none of that. So we want to be in a cool, calm frame of being as often as we can. And, you know, it's like, you know, I always say with people, meditation is not when you just feel like it. Of course it is, but it's also when you need it the most. When you feel like you don't have time to do it, that's when you need it the most. It's like when people tell you, as a personal trainer, I don't have time to work out these days, da da da. That's when you need to do it the most, you know? It's and you'll feel better instantly from it. It's like sometimes I will try and meditate in very hectic places because I like my mind to be empty whilst there's chaos around me. I quite like that. You know, it's like, so I'm this nice, peaceful ship in the water, in these troubled waters, and, you know, battling out this storm, but I'm fine inside, you know, and everything else, it doesn't matter where the tide takes me eventually. So long as I can handle myself, it doesn't matter where I end up because I'll know how to handle myself.
Right. You know, I was thinking when you were saying when you walk away from an argument, you wish, and you kind of calm down, you wish you didn't say something, or when you're totally calm, you wish you wouldn't have said anything, any of those things at all. You know, you're a much better man than I am, because whenever I walk away from an argument, I always think, man, I should have said this instead, and this that would have got them riled up. So you're a much better man than I am, Dr. John.
Well, I'm going to be honest. Sometimes I think that, oh, you know, I should have said this and that. But, you know, it's probably better that you didn't. And, you know, it's like, I remember if you say stuff to, if someone's yelling at you on the street, or, you know, and you can sense that it's going to be dangerous, and you say something like, dude, find someone less likely to put you in hospital. If you say something, you know, and from experience, that tends to exacerbate the situation. And then you end up regretting saying anything in the first place. You know what I mean? So it's like, because you're appealing to that person's ego by taking away that respect. You know what I mean? And ultimately, an argument is just miscommunication. You know, if someone is yelling or someone's feeling very passionate, sometimes all they need is to get that all out. And you'll want to try and hear the message behind the words, you know, and that's really difficult to do because some people will speak eloquently. Other people will speak very colorfully, should we say. And but it's hearing the words, hearing the message behind the words. And that's one of the keys to being as objective as possible, you know, and that way, when you are talking to someone, you're listening to what they actually mean, as opposed to the volume of what they say.
Right. I also want to touch on another point, which is something that is, I think, is key. You said that when you mentioned that, you know, when people don't want to exercise, when they don't have time to exercise, that's when they need it the most. We are recording this episode in December. It won't air until the new year, but this is around the time when people actually stop working out or just will totally refuse to start it. And yet, it is also the time when they probably need it the most, right? You know, this is the time when people are going to be out and about. They're going to be eating a little bit more. They might be drinking a little bit more. And you know, I find it really interesting that the people that I talk to who are still training now, their mindset is no different than the people that are not training. They're thinking, well, I'm going to eat terribly. I'm going to probably drink a little bit more. I'm going to be a lot more merry, you know, over the last month. So I got to put in the work now, so that I won't feel as guilty and I won't, you know, I'll get my metabolism going and all that stuff. And they're thinking the same exact same thing as the people that are not training, except they're training. You know. That makes any sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think, you know, a lot of people, and to be fair, you know, with certain years, I have been guilty of this. I'll lose enough weight so that I can put it back on over Christmas. Now, it's, of course, you know, it's like, it's a time when people overindulge themselves. And to a certain degree, you know, I mean, within reason, that's fine. Within reason. But I think people's definitions of reason, of what is reasonable, is very different. And then you get people who then justify a bit more. Oh, you know, one more day of, you know, cheat mealing is not going to make a difference and everything. And then it actually detracts you from the goal, you know. And then New Year's resolutions are, oh, you know, like at the start of the year, I've been going to the same gym for, what, 12 years now. And I've always noticed that in January, there's just so many people, you know, I mean, just so many people who, but then they trail off by February, you know what I mean? It's, and it's, I think it's having a balanced lifestyle in that actually, yeah. So you still do the training, but you're also conscious of what you eat and how you eat, you know, it's, does my body need that many carbs? You know. Now, Christmas dinners are packed with all kinds of calories, you know, it's, and, you know, I tend to think of calories, I tend to think of body fat as unburnt calories, you know, things I didn't burn off. And I'm thinking, every time I'm about to eat something, that's in my mind, you know, unburnt calories, you know, it's, how much of that do I really want on me? How much harder do I really want to work in my next session, right. In my next session, you know. But so, yeah, I always think it's, I mean, I could stand to lose a few pounds, not going to lie. But, I you know, as I'm not a competing athlete, I don't have the rush to do that. Whereas I think if you have something to aim for, and for a lot of people, it's the summer, you know, that's when the fad diets come out and everything, and everyone's a health nut. And to a certain degree, that's cool. But, you know, it's, I find them to be fitness hobbyists, you know, it's, yeah. And I think it's gotta be a lifestyle, you know, it's like, now some people treat, fitness as a hobby. other people take it very seriously. Like, you know, when you have professional bodybuilders, for instance, who have to live that lifestyle day in, day out, because their income, where their money comes from is from how they look, and how they look is from how they train and how they eat, you know. And if you're a fitness model, you might have the same thing, but it's, I mean, that's taking it to another extreme. So I think it's striking a balance between having fun whilst being able to discipline and dedicate yourself towards a good workout regime.
Yeah, and I think you hit that on the point, and that's something that I always end off the show with, which is, you know, fitness should be fun for you. You know, bodybuilders are bodybuilding because they love it. You know, at least I hope they love it. To put in that many time, that many hours for people like you and I, we love doing martial arts, and you also like working out in the gym. I also love working out in the gym too, right? And it's just, I think people get stuck into the mindset that the only way to get the body that they're looking for, the only way to get exercise is to go to a gym and run on a treadmill, when that's not the case. You can't tell me that you don't get a sweat going when you dance, right? I always tell people, if you love dancing, why don't you dance? You know, if you love playing basketball, why don't you just play more basketball? You know, that to me, that just makes a lot more sense.
Absolutely. You know, and it's finding something that they love doing. And there's something out there for everyone. And it's like, I get a lot of emails and a lot of messages saying, what martial arts should I start with? You know, so long as you start, it doesn't matter because you'll end up somewhere else. You know, what you start doing may not be what you end up doing. So it's experimenting, seeing what works for you. I mean, I personally hate the treadmill, but I like the cross trainer, or the spinning bikes. I quite like them. It's a love-hate relationship, but I'd say, because your body will burn a different amount of calories each day. You know, and your body will respond to something different each day. So I think variety is really the spice of life. It's like when I'm doing my martial arts training, today I'll do this, tomorrow I'll do that. You know, it's no session is ever the same. You know, even when I'm doing my gym routines, I say routines, I'll amend the way I do an exercise ever so slightly, just for a bit of variety. You know, it's like today was, I did shoulders today. I replaced the dumbbell press with a machine press instead. And, you know, I felt better for it. Next week, I might do something different, just slightly different. And I think that way you don't get bored, you know. And I think, like you said, it should be enjoyable, you know. Though that being said, with martial arts training, if I'm completely honest with you, I'm actually struggling to enjoy it because I train when I don't want to so that I can fight when I have to. That's a mentality that you instill in yourself when you have to face off to a situation when all else fails. You know, it's like you got 20 guys who all have weapons. You know, I mean, oh, how do you train for that? You know, so it's like that's why I wake up at half five in the morning. It's that struggle because I would love to do anything else other than train, you know. And so I'll always do, I'd say about 30 minutes, 20 to 30 minutes on, just doing martial arts, different things. And then I'll go to the gym after that. So that's my morning routine. Wake up at half five, do martial arts training, go to the gym. Then I'll finish off going to the woods to meditate. Not necessarily in that order. Sometimes I might go to the woods first. Depends on when the sunrises are, you know.
Right.
Yeah, but I enjoy doing that. But I need to get past the hurdle of, you know, getting the training in. I need to get the training in. And I think... you know, like I don't like doing it in the evenings, simply for those reasons of, now I'm tired, you know, I want to go home and, you know, watch the latest episode of whatever instead of, you know,
standing behind somebody asking them, like, you know, are you, how many more sets you got, right?
Oh, man. Yeah. You know, that's a pet peeve. Or if someone says, can you spot me? I'm like, yeah, okay. And then you end up having to deadlift that bar off their chest. You know?
I hear you.
How many reps are you going to go for? Oh, I'm going to go for six more reps. Six more reps. I'm doing the reps for you.
Oh yeah. Look, Dr. John, I know you're a busy man. I'm going to let you go, but there is one more question I didn't want to ask you, which was, you know, the show goes out to people who are looking for motivation to work out or to get something going in their life. And if you can give one piece of advice to anyone who's looking to get started on his or her journey, or who's a little bit stuck in their ways of doing things, what would it be?
Well, one thing that comes to mind is, and it's on my Instagram bio, but life is a collection of experiences. It's what you do with it that makes it worth living. And it's also who you spend that time with as well. So, you know, there's only so much time that we have here. We have to make the most of that, you know. And I think if we have the potential to be something great, you know, we have to capitalize on it, because if we choose to stay at home and do nothing and watch TV, that potential disappears. So we want to capitalize on it. And I would say, don't live in the shadow of your worst moments. And certainly, you know, whilst you're working towards your potential, don't live in the shadow of your potential either. The time to be happy is now, you know, and the time to act is always now, you know. And they say, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The next best time is now. The present is always the most appropriate time to start something, you know. And I think with the fitness journey, you know what, with each session that you undertake, gym session, or, you know, it takes you one session closer to achieving where you want to be. And when you get to where you want to be, your goal will have changed by then. You will have, you know, your goals will have adjusted. You want to take it a bit further, or you want to take it in a different direction completely. So, but that all starts with you, and it all starts with you now. So I'd say, if there's something that you want to do, you're thinking about doing, there's no time like the present.
That's words of wisdom from Dr. John. Dr. John, I appreciate you coming onto the show. I had like a billion other questions, so hopefully, I know people are going to want to clamor and want to get back, want you back. So hopefully, maybe one day we'll get you back on the show and do it again. That's amazing. If people want to kind of follow your journey to get to know more about you, where can they go and find more stuff?
So probably my Instagram, which is XUEZHANG PhD, Xuezhang PhD. So that's probably the best place to get hold of me. Where else? Yeah, I think that's probably the easiest one and most accessible avenue to find me.
Sure. So, and I'll have all the links on that on the show notes, so you can check that out. And if you are on Dr. John's Instagram, you got to check out your Bane pictures. So you dress up as Bane every year, right? How long has that been going on for? I think like 5 years, 6 years?
6 years.
Six years. One, Dr. John was talking about how he needs to lose some weight. He's jacked. It's Jack City over here. Don't let him fool you with his English voice, and his Bane costumes. He takes that to another level. There's one where I think you have all six together. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's. I tell you what, the mask itself cuts into my face, so I can't have it on for too long. But Comic-Con, if I go to Comic-Con, you know, I'll stay in character throughout. You know, it's and you know, it's just a lot of fun.
It looks like you're having a lot of fun, and I think this past year you had your partner in crime, you had a Harley Quinn with you as well, right?
That's true. So her and I, so she's an actress too, and so we kind of go to these Comic Cons together. She's exceptionally popular. Like, if I'm walking around with her, you know, people will give me a camera so that I can take photos of them and her.
Well, you know, Dr. John, I won't lie. You know, she's quite beautiful, you know. So, you know, if I had a choice, I don't know. I probably should take a picture with her as well.
Yeah, me too.
Well, look, I appreciate you coming on the show again, and definitely check it out. I'll have links to that Master Wong video on my show notes, to Dr. John's Instagram page. You definitely got to go check that out. He's got a lot of photos there. That you had some zombie stuff up there recently too. So definitely check that out. Check that out.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate being here. And I hope all of the listeners have enjoyed it and love to come back soon.
Amazing. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care now.
Take care. Bye. And that's it. That's it. That is another episode. Another week has gone by. Week number 18 is now closed. So I hope you go and get yours this week and join me on week number 19. That is next week, where I got another guest coming onto the show. Hint, hint, a returning guest, the most popular guest to come onto the Remix My Fitness podcast. So don't forget, hit that subscribe button. Smash that subscribe button, actually. Hit me up on social at Remix My Fitness, Jimmy at Remix My Fitness, website at remixmyfitness.com. You know where to find me. Okay? So until next time, go out, set some goals, challenge yourself, and don't forget to have fun. Peace.